Mercy screams towards Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
What have we here?
Go fuck yourself.
Damn!
And I am a sports entertainer.
Hey everyone, Charlie here. Welcome to Eat Sleep Elite. So we did record an entire episode, and unfortunately due to computer problems, my audio just mixed so bad with Duke's that it was completely chalked. So that's a little unfortunate, but for the sake of the show, what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to kind of read off the things that we did like. This is basically going to be an ESE mini and just talk about the main things that we did spend some time on. That being said, if this is your first time ever checking the show out, we will be here Sunday for AEW Dynasty, so, and we'll have both of our coverage for that. But yeah, be sure to just, you know, like, subscribe, whatever you are, whatever you see. We can always write into us, whether that's on Twitter, on Spotify, like we did this week with our mailbag. We had Spotify write in. But yeah, at Bane Duke, at OCharlie with an X instead of an A, Eat Sleep Elite, you name it. You can always write into us and get a hold of us. And yeah, so for favorites,
Collision this week was so fucking good that I immediately was drawn to the House of Black with Brody King, Buddy Matthews, and Malakai Black taking on and defeating Action Andretti, Dante Martin, and Matt Sydal. This again, now Buddy Matthews, because we are keeping track of this all year long. Buddy Matthews is the most selected wrestler for favorite of the year right now. Which on paper, I wouldn't have seen that coming, but I think it's one of those things that Buddy's just shown up and shown out every single fucking time. So
he's really talented.
He really is. And I think the main thing, the main course of this match is not only did we learn Darius Martin got his shoot pilot license. This, to me, it kind of reestablished everything we had about the Trios division. And look, the Trios division has sunk to hell. It straight up has. They've now re-brought it back, you know, hopefully with Bullet Club Gold tomorrow night. Hopefully tomorrow night we're talking about how Bullet Club Gold is, you know, the Trios champions. Maybe we have teams on the horizon that they're going to face. Maybe they'll pull in New Japan and set up their opponent at the pay-per-view. That's a perfect world, right?
Here's what they do. They set up with the New Japan six-man champs, right?
Oh, yeah. That'd be fucking sick.
Triple Trios Gold Champion. The triple bullet gold.
We need House of Torture Gold. House of Torture Gold.
The triple House of God. The House of Triple Torture. Oh no.
But you know, I just think the through line of this match was it was a lot of fun, and this crowd at Collision was fantastic. They won everybody over, and you know. On paper, you could be like, oh, this is House of Black against, you know, these high flyers, these flippy guys. But House of Black make that work so well every single time. It's proven. Brody King, Malakai, Buddy, whenever they're in the ring with someone that can, you know, is supremely athletic, they make fun of, like, they make it work. And I thought it was very well done. So, yeah, any thoughts you had on this match and your favorite was... I think even this week, we're still seeing it play out more.
Yeah, so sorry about that. I dropped there for a second. But I heard what you were saying about this match. And I agree with what you were saying. Really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it can kind of like, you can kind of get like distracted by the fact that it's just like a lot of flippy dudes versus the House of Black. But like, I mean, for all intents and purposes, we were talking about Buddy Matthews being one of the most selected favorites. That's his style, too. He just has been leaning more into the heelish sort of wrestling style since being the House of Black member that he's been. You know what I mean? So, is one of those fucking pickups that's going to go down in AEW history as, like, nobody really at the time probably bought into it, really, even us. We were kind of like, I don't know, who is this kid? But, like, he actually is really good. And I just wish they would like, and I know I harp on this a lot, but I wish they would just fucking, somebody would say, no, I am a top flight member. And then just have him stop dropping this to top flight in Action Andretti shit. Because it works better if they're like actually a group, if you're going to have them be together like that.
And you could still bring in Matt to the group. Like you can make top flight a legit organization almost, you know?
Yeah, and just like unbelievable athleticism, it's like pretty much what I write for all these matches. The thing I want to highlight the most here is Matt Sydal. He deserves, and I've been saying this for a while, some kind of title shot, like in a legit title shot where he legit gets to like go out there and have like a 3.5 star, 4 star match with somebody, because he's capable still at his age. Not that he's like
Oh,
mega
yeah.
old, but he's totally capable of doing it. He's been proving that lately. But I also think that he deserves it from the amount of work he's been
No, he really
put on
does.
lately, in the same way that like Brian Keith and Prince Aminana both deserved it, you know, because of their work. So, but anyway, try and get started on this before I drop again. My favorite this week, we had Penta El Zero Miedo in a, I guess this is technically a cope open challenge that they didn't really call it that, but that's essentially what it is. And it was I don't believe this was Eliminator. I believe this was just straight up for the title, right? Which Penta, I mean, I feel like you can get away with that with somebody like Penta. He's had title shots in the past and everybody respects Penta, so you know. Damn it, I dropped again. But I was saying that Penta, I think, has that respect. Anyway, but yeah, no. Adam Copeland, obviously on a fucking generational run, both on the mic, in the ring, and fucking just in general, probably behind the scenes too. I mean, this guy is like a locker room leader. It's got to be like him, Bryan Danielson, and like a few of the others, just like running shit back there. Probably John Moxley, maybe the Young Bucks, Kenny, if he's there. You know, like this. And I mentioned in the other review before everything got chalked, like much like it's getting chalked now by my disconnecting from the call constantly. This is a generational comeback from Adam Copeland. Penta got most of this match by far, but it was all the selling from really from both guys, because it started off as being like a sell-fest from Adam Copeland. And I mentioned this idea that like, you know, when you're doing a promo as a baby face, you know, you don't want to like bury the guy that you're fucking wrestling against. Even as a heel, you don't want to do that, because you want to make sure that you actually are beating. God, this is going to get on my nerves getting cut off like this so much. But if you do that, basically the concept is, I've heard wrestlers say this, that if you fucking say, oh, you're worthless and I'm a way better wrestler than you and you suck, and then you beat that, then what did you beat? Well, it's like, as a wrestler in the ring, he's doing that by bigging them up and making them seem like absolute monsters, which is also double believable because he's an older wrestler at the end of his career, that he's even saying in an interview recently that he's got like maybe 1.5 years left, right? That I just saw on Twitter. I don't know if that was something he actually said, but I saw it on Twitter. And you know, yeah. With the selling, and then it pivoted to Penta having to sell his ass off to Chito, but to make that comeback look believable. So I think it was just a pretty unbelievable match by both guys. And then we got a good finish with the anti-air spear and Brody King with a post-match attack. Good angle after the match. And yeah, I mean, Charlie, give me your thoughts on this match. And I just thought it was a great match to open up the show. Especially after the swerve from what we thought was going to be opening the show. So just give me your thoughts, and I
Yeah, no, well put. And Lucha Libre Adam Copeland was in full effect. And, you know, to completely shatter the fourth wall, the next Dynamite, both of these guys were fucking cooking again. So they're on a serious roll right now. Their chemistry together has been fantastic. And yeah, I really think Adam Copeland, you know, there's something I kind of want to say, but it's almost like, hey, fuck it. You know, Adam Copeland seems to be doing everything we kind of thought CM Punk would do. So there's a little bit of that kind of playing into it. It's pretty fun. You know, we don't, now don't get me wrong. CM Punk wrestled a shitload of fucking like Dynamite matches here and there, but it always felt like he would take a few weeks off here and there and then
Yeah, in
pop
like
back.
2021.
Exactly. And then he would pop back. And but Adam Copeland has been week in, week out. He'll go from Collision to Dynamite within the same week. You know, if you view the start of the week as Collision and the end of the week as Dynamite, just like it seems like sometimes TBS does, you know, Christian K or Adam Copeland is wrestling, you know, 2 times a week consistently, and it's kind of fucking nuts. So Yeah, I well put about him being the locker room leader and not afraid to put people over. Like, this is something that I think we're seeing a lot with him. And, when he eventually does drop this title, now we can get into the schematics of him not defending it at Dynasty, but the reality is I don't think we need him to defend that at Dynasty with how loaded the card is.
We
I mean,
have.
who knows? Yeah, maybe tomorrow will feel different, but I just don't know.
Well, I'm just saying we have 77 titles. Like, we don't need every one of them to be on the line every pay-per-view. We have to have something sh saved for
Yeah.
title. You know what I mean? Like.
It literally, when you factor in Ring of Honor and you start seeing all these titles on the shows, like this week specifically, having Battle of the Belts with all the Ring of Honor titles, I guarantee you there's people that are like, yeah, every fucking wrestler has a title. Where's the importance of them? And that is a legit thing when you factor in the Ring of Honor stuff too. So, I mean, everyone in this six-man tag coming up has a title. So outside of the House of Black, who, but it's all three singles titles on these guys, so.
But it doesn't fucking help either that Ring of Honor is like basically AEW's replacement for Dark at this point, especially in like a lot of the matches you get on there for random people that don't really go anywhere. So like it then it makes it feel like they're just like provisional titles and like
Yeah.
basically the only championship in Ring of Honor, what I'm getting at that feels like it's important is maybe the world title. I think there's still some aura left from when Claudio was champion, right? Maybe. But mostly, and I guess Eddie did some good stuff with it too, but he never really did anything with it, you know what I mean? Other than just have it as part of the three titles he held. But I think the one that feels important is Athena's, and I don't even know if that one, it still feels like a secondary women's title to the other women's titles, even the TBS, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't. It's just,
Yeah.
I'm not saying get rid of Ring of Honor's championships, then what the fuck would they do? But like, like I'm saying like I don't know what to do. There's too many championships and it hurts my brain.
Brain go numb.
For our news this week, Motor City Machine Guns have been rumored to AEW. I believe Bodyslam.net pretty much says, it's agreed upon. Now they're just waiting for a deal. This is great news in my opinion. So that I'm really looking forward to them. The AEW All In backstage footage, we both kind of agreed, who does this benefit? That was kind of the main question, and that was the main theme throughout the show. I believe this did benefit Jack Perry, and I looked to the Windy City pay-per-view as he was by far, he got the biggest reaction, and there was CM Punk chants, but they were like maybe 30 seconds. And towards the end of the match, that they weren't even doing that. They were cheering for him to hit the GTS. Like this. He won that crowd over. Jack Perry consistently delivers on pay-per-view. This is the scapegoat. This is an AEW homegrown talent. Like, he benefits from this. Marigold promotion has been announced. This is Rossi Ogawa's new promotion where, main stars being Julia, Utami Hayashishita. And he, while he did poach from Stardom, he completely gutted AWG, which is a Joshi wrestling promotion in Japan. So yeah, it's not looking too great there. If you're an AWG fan, they've posted some warnings like, hey, we're not even sure what the future's looking like. So yeah. We also made sure to talk about our mailbag here, where we had Andrew write in this week. He said, not a question, but hearing you guys address how toxic fandom has become felt great. I can't stand the discourse right now. Thank you for standing up for real wrestling. Well, thank you, Andrew, for writing into us. We really appreciate that. And I wish you could hear what Duke was saying about this because it was along the lines of, if we're passionate about something and we love something, sometimes you can get upset by it, and that's just the way it is. And a lot of discourse lately has been just people rooting for the death, right? They're rooting. They want the finger poke of doom. And Tony Schiavone had a really great moment on his podcast this week, kind of saying, like, if you guys think this is the finger poke of doom, you're out of your fucking minds. Like, you are seriously out of your fucking minds. So that was kind of nice to see from Schiavone. He was working people pretty hard. I mean, I'm sure you guys saw it, whether it's Facebook, Twitter. He had some people upset. He worked them bad because they're thinking that this guy is like, oh no, the writing's on the wall. But the reality is, he was just trying to put heat on the Young Bucks. That was it. So. So what I want to do now is I do want to hit all the results for this week, but like I said, normally we kind of really do spend a lot of time on each result because I do enjoy breaking them down analytically, but for the sake of this show, with it being a mini and whatnot, I'll kind of just hit them a little quickly. So we'll go to Ring of Honor, where we kicked off with Action Andretti defeating Isaiah Cassidy. If there was one match you really wanted to watch this week on Ring of Honor, I would recommend this one. We had Shane Taylor Promotions defeating Australian Takeover. We had Nyla Rose picking up a quick squash victory. And something I want to throw out there with Nyla Rose is, if you're going to have her just doing consistent squash matches like this, why not try and make it a story out of it and be like, Nyla each and every week wants to call someone out and she wants to give someone an opportunity that, you could almost try and replicate a 1-2-3 kid storyline with her, and eventually you just have someone do it, right? I don't know, little things like that, it kind of crosses my mind. Christopher Daniels defeated Cole Carter. I wish they would just believe in Cole. I really do. He seems like, I don't know, I feel like a win over Daniels here would have really benefited him more than it benefits Daniels just beating him, but it's all right. The Righteous defeated Bryce Donovan and Chico Adams. Commentary consistently shouted out Bryce Donovan. Anna Jay defeated LMK. Zack Knight defeated Alvin Alvarez. And Kyle Fletcher in the main event defeated Rhett Titus in a World Television Title Proving Ground match. Mark Briscoe was on the show, just backstage footage with kind of toast and beers of Eddie Kingston. For the AEW, we opened up Dynamite with Adam Copeland defeating Pentel Seta Miedo. Shane Taylor Promotions defeating Lionhook and Shibata, and Shibata actually took the pin here from Lee Moriarty. Okada picked up a win. Mariah May defeated Anna Jay. They used this as well. Mina Shirakawa got her AEW debut, and she toasted to Mariah. Mariah's, she's in that love triangle, so it'll be very interesting. Mariah May has become the center of the women's championship feud. It's pretty wild. And then our main event in AEW World Title Eliminator, where Samoa Joe defeated Dustin Rhodes. It's a fun little match. On Rampage, Orange Cassidy defeated Alex Reynolds. AEW TBS title open house, Julia Hart defeated Layla Hirsch. This was like fucking nearly a squash match. This was barely 3 minutes. So that to me was a little sad because out of all the matches, I was like, oh, that looked pretty good. We finally got Zack Knight defeating Angelo Parker. This was all right. I mean, I would have capitalized this on a couple weeks ago. It just didn't happen. It's all right. And if you were going to watch a single match from the show, Jay White, Matt Sydal main event, so underrated, Matt Sydal, so good. This was fun. This is a fun little main event match here. AEW Collision, House of Black defeated Action Andretti, Dante Martin, Matt Sydal. Shibata defeated Lee Moriarty in just a technical, strong style kind of match. Very fun. Daniel Garcia defeated Angelico. He at one point, like, quite literally skull fucked him. Do with that what you will. Toni Storm defeated Azumi, who came out there with Anna Jay. So hopefully another link to Anna Jay in Stardom. My God, everyone in the world will benefit from that. Azumi immediately won the crowd over. She's getting chants from them. She is so freaking good. And our main event, the Blackpool Combat Club, Brian Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli defeated the Don Callis family, Kyle Fletcher and Powerhouse Hobbs. Okay. I know neither of us picked this as our favorites, but it was so special. This truly was an AEW Collision main event. And, if this is your first time maybe checking the show out, what we mean by that is AEW Collision main events are the, in my opinion, and in Duke's opinion, he does agree, they are the main spot that you can really get in terms of an AEW weekly schedule. It feels like a pay-per-view match nearly every week, and this was another week where it did. Fletcher and Hobbs, I gotta tell you, they're starting to feel like a real team. That was kind of my biggest complaint with the Don Callis family for the longest time, was it just felt like single stars wrestling together. Fletcher and Hobbs are starting to feel like a team, so I wonder if we're gonna see that when Aussie Open plays out, like when Mark Davis does return. Battle of the Belts 10, with the FGW title match where Hook defeated Shane Taylor. An AEW International title eliminator, Roderick Strong defeated Rocky Romero. They officially kicked off the Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly feud following this. And the women's ROH Women's World Title main evented, where Athena defeated Red Velvet in a really good match. Athena, MIT was on Collision, and it was a welcome presence. They had Lexi Nair doing the ring announcement here. She did all right, so that was kind of neat. But yeah.
Well, something fun we can kind of do as we are going to jump into our dynasty predictions here. And now that we're in our own verse, we're in the ESE verse, they've added a shitload of matches. So we can actually cover these right now. Fuck it.
The live edit is real.
The live edit is real. So here we go. Hook versus Chris Jericho, FTW rules match for the FTW championship. Duke, is Jericho going to be a champion? Are we going to have Jericho become the FTW champion?
If Hook doesn't win this match, my God.
Safe to say we're both Hook here.
I hope we are. Fuck.
We're a couple of hookers.
Hey.
They did officially add the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn versus Bullet Club Gold. I mean, we kind of just teed it up. I think we're both going Bullet Club Gold here.
The Bang Bang. Actually, I'm rooting for the Bang Bang Gang.
Yeah, same. Trent Beretta versus Matt Sydal. I'll be taking I'll take Trent Beretta here. I imagine his new heel run, he's gonna get a quick pay-per-view victory, but it is Matt Sydal's hometown, so
Nah, you gotta give it to the guy that just turned heel.
okay. Agreed. And Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata versus Shane Taylor Promotions. Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty with Anthony Ogogo as the heater. I'm telling you right now, Shane Taylor Promotions, I really want them to win this. And I think we're going to see it factor in with when you put them over talent like this, it helps them get over.
Yeah. I'm 100% rooting for them, but I think they're not winning because AEW never. This is infamous thing that happens while we're watching these pay-per-views is that like 90% of what we want to happen will happen on a pay-per-view, and then it'll be like one match like this where like Orange Cassidy will just get a win for the crowd to be happy. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, even though we love Orange, it's just like we want Shane to be taken seriously by AEW fans, and they just always have him lose in important moments, both on Ring of Honor and in AEW. So it's like whatever, you know, like.
It does end up hurting it, evidently. That being said, the vortex continues. Hope you guys enjoyed AEW Dynasty.
I am going to hit the Dynasty predictions now. Will Ospreay versus Brian Danielson. Duke took Will Ospreay. I took Brian Danielson. The Young Bucks versus FTR. We both took the Young Bucks. Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale. We both took Willow Nightingale. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. I actually took the House of Black with Malakai pinning Adam Copeland. And Duke took Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe with Adam Copeland pinning Malakai Black. So I thought that was pretty neat. Timeless Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa. Unanimous Timeless Toni Storm. Kazuchika Okada versus Pac. We both took Kazuchika Okada. Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. It's again unanimous. Roderick Strong. And Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland. Another unanimous for a new world champion, Swerve Strickland. I can't think of anyone that deserves it more than Swerve. He's gotten himself so over. This character is so good. And it truly is. It's going to be a moment if he does win this thing. So